Welcome to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. I'm Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist, and today I'm speaking with Lori Day, educational psychologist and consultant, writer and blogger with over 25 years of experience in the field of education. In this segment, we discuss bullying and the school-parent relationship. How do we prevent our children from becoming the bully, not the victim?
I absolutely agree that this is a blind spot for a lot of parents. I have seen it time and time again. As a school administrator, I dealt with it quite a lot. It was a very difficult thing to get a parent to see the role that their child was playing, particularly, as you say, in a bullying situation. I started talking about the golden rule and the simplicity of don't treat others in a way that you yourself would not want to be treated. That message is not nearly as explicitly taught now as it was when I was a child, and it has to be. I feel we need to move back towards more respect for authority, and in specific I'm talking about respect for schools and respect for school personnel who are experts. There is a lot of skepticism, automatic skepticism and distrust that I don't think was there so much when I was growing up. And so if a teacher or a school administrator tries to give the message to a parent that their child was involved on the bullying side of an incident, I find that parents these days are more reflexively defensive about that and not automatically respectful of the school's position. Kids often act very different at school than they do at home, and that's developmentally normal and to be expected. You can't generalize from one environment to the other, necessarily. And there used to be this understanding on the part of parents that things could happen in school that were different than what they saw at home. But now there is this sense of that parents are the authority on their kids and that the schools need to fall in line with their view of things. And that's just not always a fair place to start. I'll give you another example of what concerns me, and it's more typical of the younger generation of parents than the older one. I had so many experiences of a parent coming into my office already angry, already disrespectful, and the dialogue is already shut down because their view of what happened in a bullying situation with their child is their view. And when they come in that position, it makes schools defensive and it makes schools keep parents at arm's length more than they want to, because that's not good for anybody. There were days when I was the head of a school where I would spend, gosh, I would say at least 25% of my time dealing with bullying. And think about what that means for the mission of schools, teaching and learning and all the things that need to be going on that get pushed aside because you have fires to put out, because you have crying kids and upset parents and very inflamed and confusing social situations that have played out between kids, usually involving technology, oftentimes not on school grounds. And there's a lot of talk right now about whose role is what and what belongs where. And I would experience parents who would be standing outside my office when I arrived in the morning with paper in their hands. And this would be printed out Facebook dialogue. Or they would have their child's cell phone in their hand with saved text messages or voicemails. And then I would have kids standing in line at the other door to my office, crying and wanting to get ahead of each other to get in to see me first to talk about all the wrongs that had been done to them over the weekend. You would think that having reams and reams of paper somehow helps you untangle the situation. It does not. It makes it harder because it's incomplete information. It is selected information. It leaves out the pages of where their child was doing it to another child, but the other parent has those pages. And there is a tsunami of bullying complaints that are dropped at the school's doorstep now. And there's a lot going on now about resolving or trying to figure out whose role's what. If it happens off campus, is that the school's job? Well, if there's a threat of harm to self or others, is that the school's job? There's different answers to different questions, and there's quite a lot of very intense legislation right now on how schools must handle bullying situations. One thing I would say clearly from the perspective of school administrator is that kids are in school, I think, about 35 hours a week. So schools are in loco parentis for 35 hours. If I do the quick math, I think that leaves 133 hours a week that they are in the domain of family and neighborhood and home. And the expectations that parents have of what schools are going to do has increased and increased and increased over the year, while the funding for guidance counselors and bullying experts and professional development and assembly programming and all the things that are needed to help with this are being cut. So you have administrators dealing with all of this stuff coming at them unpredictably, in heated ways, in crisis moments, and it puts aside everything else. And I have yet to hear anyone propose, I've heard a lot about what schools need to be doing, but not a lot about how they're actually going to do that and still teach and do all the other things that they're expected to do and get their kids all, you know, to do very wonderfully on standardized testing and all of that. And until you've been on the inside of a school at a senior administrative level, you have no idea of the collective effect of all of this on a school, because there is so much of it, and it's at every school.
Thank you for listening to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast and let us know what you think at urj.org/parents.